big thank you to those of you who responded to our first culture survey that went out. This is a new tool, if you remember, to enable our Strategic Leadership Council to check in with you periodically and just monitor the health of our culture. We'll be repeating this in the future. We're pleased to report that 125 of you responded to the survey, so that gives us an excellent survey picture of the current state of our culture and also provides us insight where we have opportunities to improve. Tomorrow, you're going to likely receive an email in your inbox that's going to list out all the results of that survey so you can see how everybody answered those five questions that we posed out there. So take a look at that if you get a chance. Hope it doesn't go to your spam. Our task force is continuing its work to address recommendations from the healing process. We're currently working with all of our church teams to develop a behavior covenant. This is something we're calling our commitment to the cross. And we look forward to rolling that out sometime after the holiday season, but we'll be coming to your various ministry teams and work areas to get some input and feedback on that so that it really does represent what we want as a church for our culture. We greatly appreciate your support, welcome your input and involvement as we move forward, and also please feel free to contact any of our members if you have any questions or additional input for us.
Great. Thank you, Brad. Our next announcement this morning is from Michelle Lather about the Sharing Tree.
Good morning. As Pastor Bethany said, I'm Michelle Lather, and I am the coordinator for the Sharing Tree program at Midland First. For over 30 years, the Sharing Tree program has helped thousands of children and adults experience the joy of finding a gift under the tree Christmas morning. Thank you all who have participated this year by taking a tag or two and from one of our trees. A special thank you to the youth group members who took several tags and devoted an entire evening to shopping. So I'm happy to report that all 125 tags that were allocated to our church have been selected, and many of the gifts have already been purchased and returned. Please remember that all gifts must be returned to the church by the end of the day tomorrow. That's Monday, December 1st. This allows time to transport the gifts to the Salvation Army, where they are sorted and distributed. You may also return your gift directly to the Salvation Army by Tuesday, December 2nd, if that is more convenient. If anyone has difficulty delivering their gift to the church due to the snowy weather, please call the church office or contact me directly at the number listed in the bulletin announcement. Thank you again for your generous support of this worthwhile program that touches over 3,000 individuals in our community.
A couple of announcements for you. Our Advent study begins this week. We are using the book Heaven and Earth by Will Willimon to guide our Advent this season, and that will inspire a few of our sermons as well. And so I invite you, if you'd like to pick one up at the front desk. And Pastor Jeremy's Bible study that meets on Wednesday at 9:30 is going to do that study. The men's group that meets on Friday at 11 is going to do that study. And the S3 group that meets on Tuesdays at noon is going to do it as well. And so you are welcome to join any of those groups. And I also want to let you know that you are welcome to order poinsettias. I believe there's an insert in your bulletin, and I want to remind us that orders must be placed by December 8th at 3 p.m. And so if you would like to just bring your order form to the office, you may do that. And our last announcement is from Denise Lenk, Tim Juergens, and Pastor Jeremy.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas, everyone! Merry Christmas!
Oh my gosh, do you see who's here? Who is that? Oh my word. I'm so excited I can hardly stand myself. Do you see who that is up there? Andrew, who is that? I know he's right. Isn't this great? Santa's here. Oh, I'm so excited I'd run, but I can't. I'm going as fast as I can. Okay, Santa, I'm so excited to see you. Oh my gosh, it's been a whole year.
Miss Denise, how have you been?
I have been good. How about you?
I've been really good.
Good.
Hey, I want to thank all you folks from Midland for bringing the snow, because it made traveling a lot easier last week.
I'm sure it did. Yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
Did you want to come sit on my lap and tell me what you want for Christmas?
You know, Santa, I would love nothing more than to sit on your lap, but look at this.
I noticed.
It's a little restrictive.
What is it about that costume?
Well, all right. So there's this guy who works here.
Yeah.
His name is Pastor Jeremy.
Okay.
And one day at a worship meeting,
Have you? Yeah.
He came up with this idea that we should order yard signs for people to take home, which advertises our Christmas Eve services. See? Okay?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Okay.
Now, I know what y'all are thinking right now. I can see it. You're saying, I'm going to have to put that on and sit in my front yard for the whole month of December. Well, heavens to Betsy, no. We, because Pastor Jeremy is so smart, we have signs right here for you to take home and stick in your yard. And it tells you what time our services are.
That Pastor Jeremy seems like a pretty good guy, smart.
He has a lot, let's just say he has like a lot of good ideas, all right?
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, so on your way out today, if you're interested, you can pick up one of these signs. We have some out in the narthex, and there's some by the front desk as well, and you can take them home. So, Santa,
I was a little concerned about this Pastor Jeremy.
Why?
Because, well, the address that they gave me was for across the street, so I went there this morning.
Oh, dear.
And of course, they weren't open.
They weren't open.
No.
He wasn't there.
Yeah.
That's because he was out plowing snow.
Right.
I know.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, do you think you could come to one of our services on Christmas Eve?
Well, boy, I'd love to do that, Miss Denise, but I think I might be a little bit busy that night. I don't know. I mean, I got a few 100,000 houses to hit.
Yeah, I guess. That's one excuse I haven't heard before for not coming to church on Christmas Eve. Anyway, if you get done early, would you come? Yeah, if you get done early, could you come and see us?
Well, I don't expect that to happen.
All right, okay. Well,
I have another question on this Pastor Jeremy from Africa. Has he been a good boy this year? I kind of have him on
my
list.
Don't ask me. I think he's been pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, he tries hard anyway.
Does he?
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
Yep. Okay.
So, very good.
So anyway, before I leave Santa, there is one thing you could bring me for Christmas. I only want one thing.
Just one?
Just one.
Okay.
I want a new outfit.
A new outfit?
So I can sit down, because I'm getting tired of standing up.
I can understand that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Santa.
See what I can do.
All right.
All right.
I'm going to go. Hey,
Merry
see you
Christmas,
next year.
Everyone.
Bye.
Boy, I'm glad Santa didn't get into further about which list I'm on. Never know who will show up for Sunday worship, do we? I do want to highlight for you our Christmas Eve services. We're wanting to invite you, the congregation, wanting to invite your family and your friends to service. So as you heard, we have the yard signs. Invite you to take them home with you and place them in your yard or in front of your home. Just to remind you, we'll have a 4 o'clock service for families, those with children, especially designed for them, and candle lighting. We'll have our traditional service and candle lighting at 7 o'clock. And then we're trying something new this year. We'll have a 9:30 service, which will feature a lessons and carol service with communion and candle lighting. And so that lessons and carol service will emphasize sharing and retelling the birth of Jesus Christ through our favorite beloved hymns and carols and also scripture readings. So invite you to be mindful of that this year as you plan your family's Christmas Eve. Again, encourage you to pick up a sign on your way out. No guarantee whether you'll know which list I'm on until Christmas Day. Thank you for sharing in our excitement for Christmas Eve.
The prophet Isaiah calls to us from the past to imagine the future when God's reign will be fully realized and recognized throughout creation. When that time comes, God shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.
Today we choose to live in hope, believing that the time of God's reign has come and is coming among us.
We light this candle of hope as a sign of our promise to follow the light as we answer God's call to transform our hope into reality today and into the days to come.
Thank you. And now, if you would, please stand and turn to the insert in your bulletin. We are going to sing View the Present Through the Promise on the insert in your bulletin.
Go up to the altar this morning, and there is a little, what is it? Can you guys see what that is beyond Pastor Bethany? Do you see that little building there? What is that building?
A stable.
It is. Good job, Alec. Yeah. Okay, so let's, but before we do that, can you guys come over here? I want to show you something before so everybody can kind of see. All right, so we have hiding in here something that says, bah, bah.
A sheep!
Yeah.
And a cow.
Oh.
Can we help?
It's like a, what is that?
The bull.
What does that say?
Donkey.
Well, usually, yeah. Oh, good job. See, I was a little. Yeah. So what we're going to do is those kind of show, those on the nativity show different virtues, like humility. They show patience. Okay, you want to do that one today? Okay. And they show innocence is another thing that they show. But the animals also show, sorry guys, the animals also show that we have bringing everybody together. So not just one person from one, like the Gentiles or anything, but everybody that the Messiah is going to come, right? It's a symbolism for us. Are you guys ready to go up to the... Oh, you're going that way? Okay, well, the rest of us are going this way. Let's go this way, Andrew. You guys coming up the secret stairway? Okay. Oh, look at that. Okay. So where are we going to put the other one? Where's the sheep going to go? I know, that's such a cool one. You know, I think we've got some other ones that we can play with in the Sunday school room. So can you put that up there, please? Thank you, Lily. Oh, you think the sheep's being a little shy until Jesus comes? Okay. Let's do a quick prayer. All right. I need Miss Nora over here, please. I know, that's a beautiful tree. We do have to say what a beautiful job they did with all the decorations in the church. Don't you guys agree? Okay, let's do a quick prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful, beautiful, snowy day. We ask you to bless us as we talk about the Nativity and we talk about Advent wreath and the hope today. Please just give us a fun-filled Sunday. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Okay, we're gonna go up the secret stairway, down the secret stairway you guys came up.
Amen. Thank you, Nathan, and thank you, Gabrielle. You know, Advent is a season of contrasting elements. There's a part of Advent that is so familiar, yes, and we take up our familiar rhythms. We might have our favorite movies that we play or our favorite traditions to do with family or friends, and certainly our favorite carols here at the church. And yet, as we prepare for Jesus coming, both in celebrating his birth and his return, we're reminded that there are those unexpected moments. Perhaps sleigh bells and worship. Or for me this morning, I was surprised. A couple moments that I want to share with you as we prepare to share our offerings this morning. This morning, I was greeted by a bit of snow, as all of you were too, and needing to help clear some of that snow away as our staff was having troubles getting in. And one of our guests from the community walked up to me and said, "Can I give you a hand shoveling the snow?" I appreciate that, Todd, very much. I appreciate you sharing your worship in that way this morning. I also was greeted by a youth who I knew at the church as a confirmand some 14 years ago. I was surprised he was now head and shoulders taller than me, but once again blessed by that unexpected greeting. And so this morning, as we are in worship and as we give our tithes and offerings as we are able to support the church, I want you to consider on this first Sunday of Advent, how will you celebrate this time of preparation and anticipation? What are those practices and those traditions that will be meaningful to you? And at the same time, how might you be surprised by how God shows up? May we be mindful of a God who gives so much to us in his coming to earth and in his promise of his return as we give back with gratitude. May the ushers please come forward. Thank you. Almighty God, we give you thanks for your gifts to us. We pray in this Advent season that you would prepare our hearts and minds for all that is to come. For the expected ways, O Lord, that we celebrate Advent, but also the unexpected ways that you will work in this time to remind us of your presence with us. And so we offer these gifts and ask your blessings upon them, that we might share the light that has come into the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 24 through 27, and then 32 through 37. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. And in verses 32 through 37, But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know the time, you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cock crow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Today is the first Sunday of Advent, the season of waiting. What are we waiting for? Ultimately, we're waiting for the coming of Jesus. And Advent is a season of intentional preparation as we await it. And in the short term, we're preparing for Christmas, the day when we celebrate the birth of Christ, God in the flesh. Throughout Advent, we'll be considering the incarnation through texts such as Mark chapter 13, as Pastor Jeremy read, as we use the book Heaven and Earth, Advent and the Incarnation by Will Willimon as a guide and lens through which we consider this word, Advent, which means coming into being or use. How is God shaking things up? And what is coming into being? In this first chapter of his book, Willimon has chosen a scripture passage that perhaps catches us off guard and makes us uncomfortable. Fair enough. And maybe that's a good thing. The beginning of the 13th chapter of Mark has Jesus walking out of the temple and his disciples remarking, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." That's Mark chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Mark doesn't tell us which of the disciples made this remark, or why exactly he was prompted to do so. But Jesus' response might seem disconcerting. And when we read our scripture text for today, perhaps even more so. Reverend Dr. Willimon in his book says, "Should the true and living God be turning toward us, there are bound to be jolts and bumps, some shaking along the way. Something must die in order for anything to be born. The first name for Christians was the Way. People on the way toward God, or God making a way toward us. Take it either way. We're not where God wants us to be, not by a long shot. We don't have a permanent city here. But rather, we're looking for a city that is still to come. And that scripture reference is from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14. Willimon continues, he says, if we're looking to follow Jesus, we must learn to sit lightly on present arrangements. An apocalyptic text might not be what we were expecting approaching the Christmas season, but Jesus is not a cookie-cutter king. Last week on Christ the King Sunday, Pastor Jeremy preached on Luke chapter 23, verses 33 through 43. When Jesus hung on the cross, dying and took on all our sins, not because he could not save himself, but because it was the way that would save us. One of the good pieces of advice I've received on leadership from multiple people is don't ask someone else to do something if you aren't willing to do it yourself. When we read the Gospels, this is the kind of leader that we understand Jesus to be. One who has done everything he asked us to do. Why is this important? Because what God asks of us is a lot. In the end, what we're waiting for is going to turn the world upside down. And we are called to be ready, to be expecting it. We can't put God in a box. And Lord, have mercy on us if we try. Because what Jesus came for as a baby and what he's coming back for isn't to put a Band-Aid on our scrapes and scratches. He came to make everything new. Willimon tells us that this apocalyptic text is good news because it's not just about an ending, it's also about new beginnings. There's multiple hymns in our hymnal that tell of new beginnings. This is the day of new beginnings on page 383 in the United Methodist Hymnal. One of the verses says, for by the life and death of Jesus, God's mighty Spirit, now as then, come make for us a world of difference as faith and hope are born again. And then hymn of promise, which is on 707 in our United Methodist hymnal, the last verse goes like this. In our end is our beginning. In our time, infinity. In our doubt, there is believing. In our life, eternity. In our death, a resurrection. At the last, a victory. Unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. Willimon reminds us that God's creativity didn't end in Genesis. God is continually creating. He's outside of time, and he knows and sees everything all at once. When things are dismantled and come apart, it's making way for the birth of something new. All of this matters because Advent is a season of waiting. a period of expectation. And God calls us to be alert and ready for his coming, not just for Christmas Day, but for the day when Christ stands in our midst and every knee bows in worship and reverence of the one true King. The dismantling that comes when things fall apart, that's coming when Jesus comes again. It's bad news for those who put their trust in dust, in material possessions, and things that could be gone tomorrow, and that we cannot take with us to heaven. But it's good news for those of us who trust in God and have Him as our refuge. We cannot bring the history of the world to a successful conclusion, Willimon reminds us. We, by our meager efforts, cannot fulfill all of God's intentions for God's creation. We wait and work and pray for the consummation that is only God's to give. The invitation of Advent is to wait with expectation for God to do what only God can do, and for us to do what he has called us to do, to stay alert, to be mindful. As Jesus said in using the analogy of the man who goes away and leaves the servants in charge, giving them a job to do and having someone to watch the door. Our hope is a sure thing, because our God is a God of steadfast love, a love that never ends. He himself is the one we're waiting for, the one who will set all things right. Jesus holds the keys to hell and death, and darkness will not overcome his light. Perhaps you wonder why we waited so long, why we're still waiting. This time between Advents, between Jesus coming in the flesh as a baby and his coming again, we have the opportunity and the privilege, meanwhile, to partner with God in the work that he is already doing. We get to tell the story. We get to let our celebration of the birth of God Most High, fully God and fully man, be seen and heard as we tell the world of his goodness in so many ways. So many ways. That's what this is all about. That's what we're here for. To let everyone know that the King of Glory is coming, and that he has already come. The kingdom of God is a kingdom that is both already and not yet. Both of those are true at the same time. Recently, a colleague in ministry introduced me to a poem called The Dash by Linda Ellis. This poem is all about what the dash on gravestones represents. The time in between the two dates on either end. Here's an excerpt. For that dash represents all the time that they spent alive on earth. And now, only those who loved them know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. How we spend our dash matters now, but also for eternity. God's kingdom has come in part, but it is coming in its entirety. The waiting we're called to, the meanwhile that Willimon refers to, has meaning and purpose because God doesn't waste a thing. And he told us ahead of time to be alert and keeping watch. Because when we're looking forward to something, isn't that what we do? Have a countdown to special events, mark it on our calendars, and talk all about it? We don't know the day or the hour, but we do know that Jesus is coming. His incarnation shook up the Jews' idea of a Messiah, a rescuer. His second coming will shake what we're used to. How we spend the time in between, how we wait, it's a witness to our faith. Is our faith a declaration of God's love and an invitation into his kingdom? I invite you to ponder that this week, in this first week of Advent. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now we come to a time of prayer. Let us join in prayer together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have come, that you took on everything that it is to be human, and were without sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God. Help us to await your second coming well, watching and waiting with hope and expectation that your kingdom is coming in full very soon. Thank you for the opportunity it is to prepare, to celebrate your birth, and for your patience and compassion, wanting everyone to hear your good news and for no one to perish. We pray for those who cannot worship you freely today. Give them courage and strength to remain faithful always and to be a light for you. Give us that same courage and strength, too, as we come freely into the sanctuary. Thank you for this Thanksgiving weekend that we've had to spend intentional time in gratitude. For all that you've given, we are grateful. And for your wisdom, and that you are always creating and have promised to make us new. Thank you that we get to experience your kingdom in part here on earth, and that one day it will come in full. Prepare our hearts, and may the time in between the beginning and the end bring you glory to the very highest extent. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us first and for teaching us how to love, for teaching us what it means May those around us in our families, our workplaces, our community, and across the world know who you are and how extravagant your love is because of the ways that you have taught us to love. Thank you for the privilege that it is to come before you and to bring our whole selves, to know that you see us and that you look on us with love. Prayer is such a gift that you have given to us. Thank you. Thank you that we get to be in relationship with you. And thank you for the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." And if you would, please stand for the closing hymn if you're able. It is on the opposite side of your bulletin insert, "A Star Shone Bright." Glory is coming. He's on his way, and we get to celebrate his birth as we await. I invite you this week to go with hope. Carry it with you into every place, and to all people that you meet. The King is coming to shake things up and to set things to right. And there's a lot of people who need hope in this world. Go and carry it with you, and know that the King walks with you. He never leaves us alone. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.